all my life. Been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, live in studio. It's a nice Friday. Hopefully this is the Red Friday that we get to talk about on Monday with exuberance. It's supposed to snow on Saturday, so I'm not looking forward to that. But Darren, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just actually dreading the fact I'm going to have a long day Sunday. You know, I have a TV appearance on Fox 4 for an hour and a half, you know, talking Chiefs, you know, because, you know, when you want expert analysis, you call on me. And so I'll be on there Sunday from 7 to 8:30. My brother was like, oh, so I guess you ain't got no excuse to not go to church. I was like, yeah, so I had to.
That's a good excuse to not go to church.
Actually, I'm not going to say that on the air. I'm going to make sure I make a cameo appearance.
You could go to church. Is chicken?
No, no, no. I'm gonna go to church, and then, you know, I gotta make my stop by gates, and then head over to the stadium. I just haven't decided what time I'm gonna get over to the stadium, because I'm gonna watch that Cowboys game, you know, when it starts to kick off. But I don't know what time, because I can get in early before the fans do. So it's just for me, because I'm gonna be there till about 11 o'clock. I want to make sure, you know, because I'm going to wear one suit for the TV thing and then one suit for the game. You know, I'm not going to wear one when I'm working.
Why
game.
Not go one suit every quarter? Just go out and switch it out.
I could, but then, no, that's doing too much. It's doing too much. Plus, again, 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, like I said, I don't want to wear the suit I'm going to wear at the game. I don't want to have it on all day, so I'm going to, you know, make a couple of changes throughout the day.
I'll be asleep. Ain't no chance I'm going to wake up at 7 a.m. on Sunday.
No, you're going to wake up to watch me. Because, one,
if you almost made me cuss. You think I'm going to be awake at 7 a.m.?
Yeah. Because you'll want to take some of this knowledge down, get some of this sauce.
We talk every day, Darren. I don't need to wake up early to hear the same thing.
Get your late game picks together.
Oh, I already got them.
Well, you might change your mind. Game.
Well, I hope they don't change.
Well, depending on what happens Saturday, you might have to change it for Sunday.
Sure. That's true. Yeah. Well, Darren, we'll have fun today. We're going to go through all the slate of games for this weekend. We'll obviously hit on Kansas City and Steelers. Josh Briscoe will join us in the second segment. See what his outlandish mind thinks of this weekend's games. But the one thing I want to point out for the Chiefs-Steelers, Nick Bolton didn't even play in that game. That was the only game this entire season Nick Bolton missed, and they still stopped Najee Harris. To me, the only chance the Steelers have outside of some sick turnover game from Patrick Mahomes is them able to run the ball effectively, consistently with Najee Harris. With Nick Bolton back, I think that's a very underrated storyline that's going under the radar.
Well, look, I think you're right as it relates to Nick Bolton, but the other player, though, that hopefully we will hear a lot from on the defense side about it, we really haven't talked about a lot, is Willie Gay. We haven't talked about him. I mean,
sure,
it's been a minute since the last time we've talked about him. We've obviously talked about the front four. We've talked about the back end and even Nick Bolton when he's been player of the week. But Willie Gay is the one player that we really haven't talked a lot about in the latter half of the season. So that's a name I would be more mindful to look at to see, you know, what type of performance the Chiefs are doing defensively.
And for those of you wondering, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be out Sunday. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be out Sunday. They said he went through it, but it wasn't progressing the way that he and the team would have liked, which means McKinnon, Derek Gore, Darrell Williams will be your running backs against the Steelers. Is this a loss for Kansas City? Are you concerned at all with the lack of Clyde, or is there enough depth there to get through?
Not even a little bit. I'm not concerned. I'm actually thinking the Chiefs should move on from Clyde next year, but that's just me. But, you know, but then I don't want them to do that, because then that would kind of feed into your narrative. So so I guess I'm stuck with
you're in a catch 22 right there. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You know, I love the running game, but I also like it when you're available. And when you're not available, I have a problem with that.
I will say this.
Injury prone.
I think Clyde might be the overall best running back on this roster. You go yards per carry, you go
he gets more chances and opportunities, so that's
100% he does. I think he's fine. I think the biggest concern outside of injury for him has been his first-round tender. If Clyde was drafted in the fifth round or the sixth round, we'd be sitting here saying, we think we have something in Clyde.
Yeah. But if he was a Trey Smith-type selection. Yeah,
sure, but when you're a first-round draft pick, first running back taken in the draft, you're expected to live up and be that Jonathan Taylor, that Najee Harris, the guy who is an absolute tank and stays on the field 80% of snaps, right?
Yep.
It hasn't been that way, whether that's a lack of putting him in the best position possible, because I will say, I think if they use Clyde how they use Darryl, I think he would have more success. But at some point, you do have to say, it's time for you to put up or shut up. I'm not worried about Clyde missing this game, but I still will say, if the Chiefs move on, which we both think they do, I think Clyde will come in handy later on in this playoffs. Because, again, I do think he's the best overall back on this roster.
Well, look, I like the fact that the Chiefs do have a lot of great depth at the running back, so they can hit you with different styles of running backs with their play calling, should they decide that they want to run the football. So if and when he does return, I think he will obviously play a contributing role. I'm just not going to be leaning on him to be the one that gets us over the hump.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill, barring a setback, should be good for Sunday's game.
Yeah, he's good.
Darrell Williams, limited in practice this week, but Darrell Williams, still expected to go. I do think we'll see a lot of Jerick McKinnon on third down. Jerick McKinnon is probably the best pass protection running back on this roster. They like the physicality he brings. We saw in a couple of his runs, even if they were only for 3 or 4 yard runs, you saw him lowering the shoulder and going, damn. I mean, Jerick McKinnon, while he's small, obviously packs a punch, but I think we'll see him a lot on third downs, which means Darryl Williams a lot in first and second. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that breakdown. And then Derek Gore in an emergency, in a pinch. End of the day, they're going to roll with the hot hand. This isn't going to be a guy who's going to get 25 carries. It's going to be spread out 6, 7, 8, and whoever is hot, that's who they're going to roll with later on in the game.
Agree. No, I agree. And that's but again, I mean, you know, I don't want to be a situation where we have to depend on the running game. As much as I love it, and you know I do love it, this offense is predicated on what Patrick and Travis and Tyreek are going to do. And I think because Travis missed the last game against the Steelers, Tyreek only played 29 snaps. I was on Patrick's father's podcast last night, Pat Mahomes, the Big Mahomes Show, that, you know, I expect, you know, because it's the playoffs, this is the big time, this is where you get your people involved. This is going to be an occasion where Tyreek and Travis Kelce play a big role in the Chiefs win Sunday.
Before we go into this weekend slate of games, I do want to touch on the All-Pro list that came out today. A lot of surprises here, especially with not a single Kansas City Chief making a first-team All-Pro selection. Kansas City Chiefs will have a few second-team All-Pros, third-team All-Pro, but they didn't have a single, not a one, first-team All-Pro. First, just starting off there, were you surprised by that?
No, not really. I guess maybe if I was to be surprised, maybe Creed Humphrey, but other than that, no, not at all. I mean, they didn't play well enough throughout the year to warrant it. A lot of people, Freedom Patrick and Tyreek didn't get one vote. I'm sorry. How many interceptions did Patrick have? Or more so, how many drop passes or drops and hands of stones did Tyreek have where he was missing passes that caused Patrick to get interceptions? Can't reward that.
I'm with you. And even Travis Kelce, who will get second team All-Pro, Mark Andrews had a better season. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football. Mark Andrews had a better season with, I like Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley, but him throwing the ball compared to Patrick Mahomes, I think that plays a factor. I think Creed should have got it, no doubt in my mind. Creed Humphrey deserved to be first team All-Pro. To me, it is what it is. But going down the list, Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, no qualms there. Running back Jonathan Taylor, unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews at tight end. Again,
was there only one running back?
Only one running back, yep.
Okay.
Mark Andrews, I'm 100% fine with. Three wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel.
Deebo Samuel was more surprised. I thought it would have been Ja'Marr Chase, but other than that, I'm good with it.
With Deebo Samuel, it helped that he also ran the football so well. He was kind of a combination. I'm sure that played a factor as far as he wasn't just a wide receiver. When Raheem Mostert and Elijah Mitchell went down, they used him a lot at running back.
I think what helped Debo was more so the trajectory of what San Francisco looked like the last month, especially trying to get into the playoffs. I think he played such a huge role, both running the football and catching the football, that, yeah, it did help. But, again, I thought Ja'Marr Chase should have made it. Obviously, the only rookie, and I know we'll get to it on in a second, was on the defensive side of football. So that was the only surprising one thus far that you've named.
Trent Williams, Locke. I will say Orlando Brown Jr. got one vote, but Trent Williams has been absolutely incredible this year. Even for his massive contract, he lived up to that and more.
That's why the Chiefs wanted him initially.
Right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, young dude for Tampa Bay, great draft pick. And then the guards, Joel Bitonio, very, very good. Zach Martin, incredible, right, for Dallas. Sorry, Trey Smith, I love you. Zach Martin's the best guard in football. And then center, Jason Kelce was a little bit of a surprise. This is where I thought Creed Humphrey deserved it more than Jason. I thought it probably should have gone Creed Humphrey, maybe Lindsley, and then Jason Kelce. I like Jason Kelce a lot. I respect him. He's been fantastic. But Creed Humphrey was just on another level at center this year to me.
No, I mean, like, again, I thought Humphreys would have made it. If anyone has a gripe, it would be Creed Humphreys. But, again, one thing I tell people, look, I mean, one, it's not your contract, so don't have to really worry about it. But, dude, chill. I mean, if people didn't make the Pro Bowl, first of all, worry about making a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, look, because last I checked, yes, all pros come and go. It is good, even a Pro Bowl. But you know what lasts the longest is them Super Bowl rings. I mean, that's what you he didn't get one vote. Man, Patrick will tell you, they don't care about that. They care about trying to get to the Super Bowl and win it. That's what they care about. Now, it's cool. Now, if your agent was put in the contract for you to get a bonus, okay, that's another story. But, man, you know, first of all, they already know whether or not they deserve to make it based off of their play.
Sure.
So, I mean, again, Creed Humphreys played well. But, but look, we can't take nothing away from it. Because, look, we focus on, especially you and I, we focus directly on the offensive line this season because it was a revamped line. Creed Humphreys and Trey Smith played exorbitantly well. Orlando Brown, we didn't really think he was going to make the Pro Bowl, but he made the Pro Bowl. You know, and I think he's a starter, so to speak. So, I don't have a problem with, you know, with these players not making it, because at the end of the day, they did start off 3-4, you know, expectations, and then it was the defense that helped them get to where they are now. So, I mean,
defensive side of the ball, T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Locks.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as edge guys go, those were the two best edge guys.
Yep.
Defensive line, a.k.a. interior, Cam Hayward, Aaron Donald. Zero qualms here. Chris Jones was fantastic, but you're not beating out Aaron Donald. And I thought Cam Hayward had a very good season as well.
Again, Chris Jones wanted to go outside before moving back inside. That hurts him. So
you're correct there. I think you're right. How many games? Six games? Five games? Enough? Whatever
enough.
It was. Enough games. You're right. That definitely played a factor in my opinion.
You tell him, I told you so. Whatever. Hey, I told you so.
Darius Leonard, Micah Parsons, Devondre Campbell. Those are your three linebackers. Micah Parsons, you and I,
only
incredible.
Rookie on the team, yeah.
Incredible.
Only rookie on that squad and deserving of it.
Actually, there's one other rookie.
No, he's the only rookie.
Trayvon Diggs.
He's not a rookie.
He was drafted 2 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You're correct.
I know.
I forgot about that. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Was he in the same draft class as A.J. Terrell? Because A.J. Terrell should have also been in this, because A.J. Terrell for Atlanta was incredible all season long.
Put a case of Diet Mountain Dew on it.
I don't drink that. Ew. Trayvon Diggs and Jalen Ramsey are your cornerbacks. Jalen Ramsey deserved it. The one thing I will say with Trayvon Diggs, as incredible as the interception numbers were, he also gave up the most yards against in the NFL.
Yeah, but numbers are numbers.
Well, that's a big number. Most yards against is a big number.
11 interceptions is a big number, too.
I'm not saying he didn't deserve it.
I know.
I'm not saying that, but there's been a lot of uproar because he's not this lockdown guy, right? He's a splash playmaker.
But he never professed to be one, either.
No one said he did. But it comes down to, what do you like more? Do you like the eye-poppy numbers, or do you like consistent cornerback play? For example, A.J. Terrell of the Atlanta Falcons was incredible all season long. Doesn't have the interception numbers, but also didn't give up many yards at all season long.
But the flip side is, though, I mean, his interceptions did come in big moments of the game, mm-hmm. and they were turning points in a lot of those games, and some even help decide the game. So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
So I actually agree. I think Trayvon Diggs should have been to this list. I know a lot of folks in the analytic community have said no because he's rated very poorly because of the amount of big plays he's given up. But you can't just take away interceptions. You can't just take away
and the Cowboys the are 12 impact. And 5, winning matters.
100%. So I do think, because those were historic interception numbers put up by Diggs, I thought he deserved it. Kevin Byard and Jordan Poyer, those are your safeties. Tyrann Mathieu thought he might have a chance.
Nope.
And then as far as special teams, Justin Tucker, best kicker in football. A.J. Cole for the Raiders, he had a hell of a year. It's not like the Chiefs used Tommy Townsend that much to begin with. Braxton Berrios, Devin Duvernay, those are your kick and punt returners. J.T. Gray, Luke Rhodes, those are your special teamers and long snappers. I thought it was a pretty good list.
Oh, I did too. I know Tom Brady, I think he got 16 of the 50 votes. I think Aaron Rodgers got the other 34.
Yep.
I don't know when the second team or if there will be a second team. Is there a second team all pro? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I don't know when it comes out, but yeah. I mean, fans shouldn't be too shocked about it. So no, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good list. I saw the list earlier when I was online, and you know, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I was. This is one of the few times I've gone through an All-Pro list and been at least over 90% happy with how the list turned out. Again, Creed Humphrey over Jason Kelce. That's the one spot where I think it's dramatic. I know a lot of people have been saying, again, like I said, Trayvon Diggs probably didn't deserve it based on his numbers given up.
Who would have deserved it over him, though?
A.J. Terrell. J.C. Jackson.
Nah,
but hey, I'm not saying me. I'm
no,
saying
no, well, but I'm saying they were never in discussion of even defensive player of the year.
Drew.
So yeah, I can't do that.
Okay, Chiefs Steelers. Before we take a break, does Big Ben have anything left? Is his arm? Because I went through this the other day.
Well,
I think he's the 15th best quarterback in 14 teams.
I told you that 3 weeks
teams.
Ago that Ben could, you know, that's why I was nervous about the Steelers, because Big Ben could summon, you know, summon the old spirits up.
Dog, he's like weakened at Bernie's at this point.
I like that reference, considering it came out before you even born.
Well, thank you.
1988, shout out. He could. I mean, he's playing with house money. I mean, that's
nobody wins with house money. I told you this. Ain't nobody out here winning with house money.
That's fine, but that's what he's playing with. So, I mean, but here's the thing: the house always wins, regardless.
Exactly, and the Chiefs are the house.
Not if Ben is playing with house money.
No, the thing is, I like the idea of this storybook. It's magical, right? He rides off in the sunset.
It sounds good, but this ain't Jerome Bettis. He's not. Yeah, he's
exactly. It ain't happening.
His last game is Sunday night. I'm not. You know.
I went through the list. I think he is the 15th best quarterback in his playoffs. There's 14 teams. I would take Gardner Minshew over him.
Yeah, I'm not going that far.
His last three games, his last four games actually, they went 3-1 in their last four games. I went through this yesterday. His average yard per attempt broke down to like 4.2 yards. He can't throw the football.
Oh, I know that. I talked about it on again. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story, but I'm going to wait till Briscoe comes in, because Pat told us something that happened while we were all in Vegas, and I'm pissed because, one, I was we were supposed to link up the day before. But he talked about something that took place the day of the game. And I'm just so pissed, because when you hear the amount of money and the odds on this particular deal, you would just be so upset. And I was so upset. Like, Pat, had you called me, I could have been there. I would have been there. I would have placed a freaking bet. We could have split.
Darren, you know what I'm pissed about last night?
What?
I had all the NBA games. I hit every single over-under. but there's five games, right? Five. I hit every single one. I didn't parlay them all. I did them all separate. So I put $2 in each game. So if I would have just put them all together, it would have been incredible. That would have been
$10.
No, I won like $10, but it would have been $2 if I would have parlayed them all together. It would have been like $200.
You know what we call that?
Soft.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Have some courage of your conviction.
I know. I got courage in this one. The Chiefs are going to beat the Steelers. We'll take a quick break, come back. Briscoe will join us as Darren asks him funny questions. We'll also hit on Saturday and Sunday's game. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. The man who is never getting older, Joshua Briscoe, from almost entirely sports, joining us on Darren and Sterling. No, I'm just saying, like, how you act. You're not getting any older. That's the main.
I would. You can say that, but this has been a very trying time for me in terms of feeling my age, especially if you guys run into Jordan Foote being here. Yet in his first week, that man is 23, maybe 22. He's either 22 or 23 years old, and I don't like feeling older than the new young guy.
But see, Darren, we're starting to get to you where now we have the old man strength, like in basketball. You can take him down low. You automatically get that extra elbow. It just comes with age.
It does.
Feels like that's true, actually.
But I think the most important thing. So it's really the first time we've had him on the air this year. Wish him happy news, but also congratulations on his engagement.
Thank you very much.
I think that is very – and why you haven't done that when you had the open mic to do that.
I told him before.
It's very
But, like, is it girlfriend Renee? So now is the bit fiancé Renee?
Yeah, that sounds a lot better anyway. It rhymes. It's very French.
Her family's fiancé probably a little happier,
Renee.
Too.
Yeah. That's questionable. We almost had a fight over Skip-Bo on Christmas. So the fact that, I got through that in one piece is incredible. Encouraging, I would say, yeah.
So
thank you, Darren.
You're welcome.
Darren and I disagree.
Only Darren.
Sure, bleep me, I get it. Darren and I disagree on one thing here. He thinks Big Ben can rise up and have one game left in him.
What I said was he can summon up the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger from the grave. All he needs to do it is one time.
And I said he's basically weakened at Bernie's. They're throwing him out there, holding him upright. And basically, I said, I think he's the 15th best quarterback in the playoffs. There's 14 teams, because I think Gardner Minshew's better.
We did this on the zone yesterday, and I think we made a legitimate argument that he could be 20th. He would have to make some stretches. It would include Mason Rudolph and Chad Haney.
Yeah, I wasn't counting those.
But Gardner Minshew is absolutely on the list. So I might agree with you guys both a little bit, because we are definitely talking about ghost territory for Big Ben, right? Like, there is no just like, oh, maybe Big Ben will just have a nice game. No, he's cooked. But they've had this weird little stretch. They've had some good fourth quarters. And if you told me that this game, I mean, I think the Steelers are the worst team by a number of categories, by a pretty wide margin. But if you told me that this game had a moment where Ben Roethlisberger throws a ball, it would feel like 60 yards, but actually be 30 yards. And then just someone goes up and gets it. You go, you know what? All right, you got your Big Ben. I think we could see a Big Ben moment, but I do not think we will get a good Big Ben game.
You know, I was talking to Ike Taylor yesterday, and he was like, well, I got Pittsburgh. I'm like, dude, everybody's an opinion, but you're just so wrong.
Yeah.
No, Smitty, hold on. I said, man, you're wrong. I'm like, where in the hell do you think that the Steelers are going to keep the Chiefs out of the end zone that much to where Big Ben is? Because I think he had to win in like 28-24. I thought, how the hell are they getting to 28?
Yeah.
If the Chiefs score 17 points, it's over.
That's like, kind of, I think in our predictions video, I think I ended up saying 27-17. And like, I think that it's probably 21-10 in the third quarter, you know, where it's like, I don't know how they can keep up. Even if one side of the ball for the Steelers has a performance that's 50% better than you expected it to be, you would need that from both sides of the ball. That seems impossible. It seems terribly unlikely, but it's also made this a very weird week. Yeah. Like, it's Friday of a playoff game. We're talking about this like we were talking about Chiefs-Broncos last week. Wild.
Exactly.
So strange. The Broncos might be the better team.
Fortunately,
they have two better quarterbacks.
Yeah. They might have two better. Hold on.
I don't know about that. Drew Lock has gotten coaches fired, so I don't know about that.
He can run.
That's true, man.
He's gotten coaches fired.
Hey, he can run, though, and the Chiefs struggle against stopping running quarterback. At least Big Ben is an absolute statue. I will say he's, like, impossible to bring down.
Yeah.
So he actually lives up to the statue
No, literally.
Moniker.
I've been making this joke now for multiple years. Ben Roethlisberger is harder to bring down than a Confederate statue on every possible level, both physically and just sort of, like, with the emotional toll that it takes. That is where we're at right now.
And then next, you want to talk religion?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. He's harder to bring down than a statue of a pope. I don't know if they build pope statues. But they built some Confederate ones. I don't know if you guys have been keeping an eye on this.
Yeah.
Maybe you've been watching the news, Sterling?
They've been taking them down lately.
I only read the French news because it seems happier.
Really? I think you should look at some French news and circle back, actually.
Let's hit this weekend slate of games since we don't have a ton of time.
And I really thought I was going to get more of a conversation for us out of bringing down Confederate statues. I thought that was going to be more
fun. Is that where you thought? Do you think we turn into NPR?
I don't know. I just thought Darren and I would have some fun jokes and try to box you out.
No.
That's fine. You can ask me about whatever you want.
Oh, no. Box me out all you want. That's fine.
No, that's all right.
Okay.
Hit me, man.
Raiders, Bengals. To me, this is the...
Bengals.
Upset. What?
Bengals.
It's Bengals.
What's the other big cat team in Florida? The big cat team in Florida. How would you say their name?
The Panthers?
Jaguars.
The Florida Panthers?
No, the football team.
The Dolphins?
Carolina Panthers, dude. What the hell is wrong with
Jacksonville
you?
Jaguars.
Oh, he did it.
What am I? Jaggers? It's Jaguars.
It's not Jaguars.
Yes.
No, it's Jaguars.
You sound like you have molasses in your mouth.
I do.
You're saying Jaguar like it's Al McGuire.
It's not like that.
You guys have molasses. You know when you have like peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth? That's what it sounds like when you say Jaguar.
Pause.
No, when you say Jaguar. When you say Jaguar, you are enunciating letters that aren't even there.
But I'm just saying.
I'm proper, sir.
Ask me about the Raiders and the Bengals again.
The Bengals? Like the
Ask me about the Raiders and the Bengals.
The music team?
Yeah.
The Bengals?
Yeah, ask me about the bracelets, shiny bracelets.
So I think the Raiders win this game. This is my upset, I think, is going to actually happen because the Raiders just beat the Bengals, a.k.a. the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same thing. It's a Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. And as weird as it is to say, the Raiders are the more consistent team.
I think that we are biased against the Raiders around here because we've seen what the Chiefs did to them twice. And, I mean, that's earned, right? Like, that is who they actually are. But I don't think that the Raiders will win that game. I do not think it is a terrible take. I do think that actually, if you look at both what Rich Bisaccia has done and really to this point, what Derek Carr has done, with Darren Waller being on and off the field, obviously Henry Ruggs exiting midseason, DeSean Jackson was not able to fully step into that role, which makes sense. He's 900 years old, but still behind your defense somehow all the time. The performances that he has been able to put out there, one of the things we were talking about, when I was filling in on the zone yesterday, talking about the quarterbacks and everything, Derek Carr has done more with less, and you have a guy, like, to make it about this game, Joe Burrow has done more with more. And Derek Carr has done some really good things in that offense this year, despite not having the weapons around him that a guy like Joe Burrow has. I still think the Bengals have the Bengals. I think Cincinnati has an advantage from virtually every angle in this game. The Raiders defense might be better than the Bengals defense, but I think ultimately it'll come out in Cincy's favor. But I don't hate that call. And if this is a playoff where Derek Carr gets a little bit of respect, I would be perfectly fine with that.
I'm thinking more so one, the Bengals beat the Raiders on the road, so they beat them in Las Vegas 32-13. The fact that this game is going to be outside, it's going to be inclement weather, it's going to be cold. I was there. It's cold in Cincinnati. It's cold in the press box. Raiders don't do cold like that, not this time of the year. They're going – I mean, look, when they get hit, they're going to feel it. I think – and this is not the same Bengals team from even – the one that put Antonio Brown and knocked him into the AB that we see right now. This is not the same team. This is a team that, you know, the players are young. They don't they feel like they don't have any connection to the teams that have never, you know, gotten past the first round during the Marvin Lewis era. So I think that they win this game. I think they win it kind of handily. I think it's going to be a good game. But the only way the Raiders keep it close is if they can get out on top first. try to get a three and out on them, and then, you know, effectively try to run the football. But I do think you know, with their passing game, Hunter Renfrow, again, I don't know which Darren Waller is going to show up. I don't know if he's going to have a good game or if he's going to disappear. So that's what worries me about the Raiders. I know what I'm going to get with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, and to an extent, even Joe Mixon. So
I'll split the difference with you guys. I like the Bengals, but more narrowly, I think, than Darren probably does.
Yeah, and I think it's cold for both guys, and Max Crosby seems like a psychopath. Max Crosby, if he has a big game, the Bengals' offensive line isn't great by any stretch of the imagination. I could see Max Crosby wreaking havoc. Patriots-Bills.
Yeah.
I don't think this one's close.
Stiffen up, man. Let's talk about it.
I think the Bills dominate this game, as long as it's not 30-plus mile-an-hour winds.
Supposed to be inclement weather tomorrow, Storm.
No, it's supposed to be cold. Yeah. It's supposed to be 14 mile-an-hour winds and 3 degrees. I get that.
Still cold.
I understand all of this, but Bill Belichick doesn't trust Mac Jones. They were down 17 in the fourth quarter to the Miami Dolphins, and they were running the football.
We were talking about bringing down statues earlier. In this game, they might erect one after the game. That was Mick's joke. I stole that joke from Mick. Pretty good.
I'm just saying, I think the Bills win handily. This is one game I feel pretty confident about.
I think it's going to be weird, man. I think it's going to be really cold, and the Patriots are weird, and the Bills are kind of weird. Chiefs fans should be rooting for the Patriots in this game, I think, because the Patriots win, they're definitely playing Tennessee next week. If the Bills win, they're definitely playing Kansas City next week, pending the Chiefs beating the Steelers, obviously. And I think they'd be better off playing either the Bengals or the Raiders. But I think the Bills will win, but I have a little bit of rematch PTSD, of just weird climate, weird environment, Bill Belichick. I'm prepared for this to be a weird one, I think.
It's funny you say that. I'm going to go with Buffalo, only because I do want the Chiefs to have a little revenge factor when Buffalo comes back to town. That's why I'm leaning towards Buffalo. But again, I can see a scenario where, hell, if Belichick feels he has to run the ball 50 times, that's what he's going to do to keep Josh Allen on the sidelines and to win the ball game. He'll win the ball game 3-0 and will give a damn whether you like it or not, Sterling.
I get that, and we've had this conversation, but they only put up 14 points by that method.
Yes, I think that is an often forgotten element of that. They were not dominant in that game, but they did enough to win that.
But the win was...
That's all he cared about, Sterling.
It's a different scenario. This is my whole point. It's not playing in the same exact field. No, you can kick it going
Sterling. Now, you know what happened on the same exact field? The Chiefs went down to Tampa in November, beat them. Then they went to that same field, played them in the Super Bowl, got their ass kicked.
Point is, Tampa Bay was a much better team. I don't think the Patriots are a very good team. I think Mac Jones is a bad quarterback. I think that...
Not a bad quarterback.
Your head coach doesn't trust you? You're down 17, and you're doing quarter running back draws.
It had nothing, dude. You just got to say it's 35, 45 mile an hour wind. Why the hell are you gonna have your quarterback throwing in it? Run the damn football.
Doing this show always makes me feel like my parents are fighting.
The Bills can't run the football. No, we know.
What
this.
Is ain't no my two.
Josh
dad,
Allen.
I promise you
Josh Allen can run the football. They can't run the football as a team.
Hold on. Did Josh Allen run the football during that game, or was he dropping back throwing passes all night?
How many passes did he throw, Briscoe? Like 26.
Almost, I'm almost there. I was
going to say 26 times, and most were late.
But again, like, also, we can talk about them playing this game in New England, what was that, two or three weeks later, and Buffalo winning that one. Like,
destroying them.
I think that this game, the thing that gives me pause isn't the specifics of playing in a blizzard. It is the overall, will Bill Belichick have something wacky that will disrupt Josh Allen enough, or that will keep their offense moving enough?
But he can do that defensively.
In a number of ways, absolutely.
And let's not forget, we credit him so much for taking away your biggest strength. Mm-hmm. Their biggest strength is obviously going to be Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, who are you going to rely on? Of course, because like you said, they don't like to run the football.
Because they can't.
Okay. Not very good at it. Yeah.
There you go. So, I mean, I guess, you know what, man, you're going to make me go. Oh, I'm going to say the F word on here. I'm going with the Patriots.
Bleep it.
I'm going with the Patriots.
We'll do Chiefs Steelers last. The Eagles and the Buccaneers. This one, I think, is surprisingly going to be closer than the line indicates. The last line I saw was 8.5 for Tampa Bay. The reason why, the Eagles' best attribute is their defensive line, right? They can get pressure. They can wreak havoc. The Buccaneers have been banged up. They've been extremely injured. Their secondary is beyond abysmal at this point. I think this could be one of those games that gets really ugly really quickly. Tom Brady obviously has no love lost for the city of Philadelphia, still refusing to shake Nick Foles' hands. I think Tampa Bay wins, but I think it's going to be a really ugly game.
Really?
I want this game to be close. I don't know that I believe it. I think that line makes approximate sense. If a late score got within one possession, it wouldn't really surprise me. I do think that you're right. One thing we've probably all been saying now for a decade is that if you get pressure on Tom Brady with four guys, that's your best chance, and that's true for the Eagles as well.
It's true for any team, realistically.
It's true for everyone who's played Tom Brady for 10 years, the last 10 years at least, and not that many teams can actually pull it off. I will say that I am happy to be at least a passing member on the Jalen Hurts bandwagon. I kind of think he's going to get there. I don't know that he's there right now. I think that whole Eagles team is probably a year away from being to where they might actually be able to be a little bit dangerous.
Here's the thing. I don't know whether or not they'll be able to score enough points. I know when they played each other the last time earlier this season, the Bucks won by 6, 28-22. I just don't see a scenario where in the playoffs – Tom Brady loses to a guy who's making his playoff debut as a defending Super Bowl champion. I just can't I can't fathom that because it didn't happen. I can't see it happening to a Tom Brady-led team. So you can put any scenario out there. The Philadelphia Eagles, they have the quote-unquote best running team, but they got Vita Vea. That's enough for me.
Is Nick Foles coming off the bench? Because that could be a game changer. If Nick Foles is allowed to sign a one game,
I'd rather just see Gardner Minshew do his best Nick Foles impression.
That'd be pretty cool too.
I think that'd be great. Run them both out there. I do like Jalen Hurts though.
Next game, 49ers Cowboys. This should be a really fun one. Cowboys are favored at home by 3 points, but typically you're favored by 3 points when you're the home team. So it's basically an even line. Mm. I don't know. Dallas confuses the hell out of me. They were an offensive team, and now they're a defensive team. Dak Prescott started hot, then he just plummeted. Jimmy G is horrible ever since his thumb injury, but then he all of a sudden will make four throws, and you go, what the hell? Is this the same quarterback?
Yeah.
George Kittle's phenomenal. I think Shanahan's used Deebo Samuel in the perfect role. Who cares if he's a wide receiver? Mm-hmm. He might be your best running back. I just don't know.
You say you don't know what to make of the Cowboys. I feel that way about the Niners even more so. I think that the pendulum swings probably too aggressively on the Cowboys in any direction because they're the Cowboys. But I remain a pretty major believer in that offense actually being good. The defense has made huge strides this year, even though it's certainly regressed a little bit at times. Every time I look at the 49ers, I feel like there's something that I'm supposed to be seeing that I'm not fully seeing. Maybe it's the inconsistency. Maybe it feels like that they've mostly beaten bad teams and lost to some good ones. But I feel all right about Dallas in this one. Like I would take Dallas -3 with spreads freak me out just because I hate watching football that way. But like I would take Dallas to win this game by a possession, somewhere within a possession. And I feel pretty good about it, I think.
I swear, that's all I watch, football and sports, when there's a point spread.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Because they're not playing for that. You know, like that, if that would be different. But it's like, well, but guys, if you go for it right here, then I can cover my 4.5. And right now we're at 3. Like, what are we doing? That stresses me out.
It's like 4th and 1, they can kneel on the, like, their own. You're like, kick the field goal, man.
Yeah, just kick it.
I've been on many a press call like, damn, Patrick, I couldn't win by 8 instead of 4.
Right.
He just looks at me like, really, Darren? Yes.
Darren's actually 17 years old. It's just that all of this gambling has really aged him a little bit.
Well, as a Cowboy fan in the room here, Darren, which way you seeing it?
I've got the Cowboys winning. It's funny, I actually got the Niners covering the points. I think it's going to be a real close game.
I hope it is.
But
I just don't understand.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I go back. Last time these two teams played in the playoffs was in 96 when the Cowboys won their last Super Bowl. This is, you know, this is, for me, it really comes down to Dak Prescott. It comes down to quarterback play. Dak Prescott and Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo, you don't know, you know, if he's going to make an interception at the end of the ball game and somehow, you know, Cowboys capitalize on it, but they come back around and march down the field to score. Or really, Dak Prescott, can he actually get a lead in the ball game and sustain it instead of always having to come back from behind? You know, get those empty calorie type yards. And so, for me, I got to see what Ezekiel Elliott does, but I got to see how he looks.
Tony Pollard better.
No. I mean, I don't disagree with that. But I'm saying, but he's going to be called upon. But with the weapons that he has and the $75 million paycheck that he got paid this year, you know, Jerry, you know, he talks about how he likes the pressure. But bro, you know, when you get down and the camera zooms in on him and you see his lips all moist and wet and his eyes are glistening, it's like, bro, man, you look like you need to go either to the restroom or wipe your brow somewhere because you sweat a little bit too bad on camera. I've got to win, and man, to me, the difference maker is going to be Micah Parsons because that, you know, as much as I think the Cowboys are going to be needed on offense, I think Micah Parsons, as Josh alluded to earlier about the defense, is really the night and day difference with this team, especially on defense, because I think his presence, he didn't play last week because of COVID, but his presence alone will allow Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, I mean, and he's able to move around all over the field. Because they're going to have to double him up, it's going to free somebody open. And look, we talk about Trayvon Diggs. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the type of quarterback that if you're going to try to challenge him, you better be on the money because otherwise he's going to pick it off. So I got the Cowboys winning.
Yeah, I can see it. Rams, Cardinals. I know this is the Monday night game.
Sounds weird.
I don't know if we have the day off for MLK Day or not, so I'm going to hit this anyways.
Pick it.
And because you're
not gonna
in the studio.
To guys on Monday,
so I think the Rams – destroy. The Rams are my team to make it out of the NFC.
Still?
I said week one. I'll say it now.
I things changed between week one and now.
Matthew Stafford. I mean, literally.
No.
Look, Josh, he literally jumped from the bed with Josh Allen over to Matthew Stafford. So it's like, dude, come on.
Getting the money, baby.
You're a fickle man, sir. Yes.
Hey, high price. I will say this, though.
That's true. He's expensive.
They have maybe the most high-end talent of any team in the NFC. I go with teams, who is the best at their position? Aaron Donald.
Yeah, definitely.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yes.
I would say right now Cooper Kupp has been.
He has. Definitely. He has been, yeah.
And so when you have that much high-end talent, to me, and I love Odell Beckham Jr. I know he's really talented. He's struggled, but have you noticed he had about four touchdowns in a five-game stretch?
Yeah, no, I did notice.
I mean, he is also playing against the third or fourth, you know, defensive back.
That's my point.
Right? Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm saying, but context matters. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But that's even
he's
better.
Going up against the number one defender.
Right.
The Rams, they have so much high-end talent. I think Sean McVay's a hell of a coach. You don't have Jared Goff anymore. Matt Stafford's like a souped-up version.
I was just trying to figure out if I could call Matt Stafford basically a souped-up Jared Goff.
It's like when you have like his Toyota Camry.
The last couple
of
months.
And you put like a spoiler on it.
Yeah.
See the problem I have. Look, I've got the Rams winning, but I have the winning only because of their loss last week to the 49ers. Because I think sometimes losses are good heading into the postseason. Some losses don't. I think the Chiefs losing to the Cincinnati Bengals is a good thing because it kind of got Spagnuolo out of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But the Rams and the manner in which they lost that game last week, leading by 17, now they know they got to play 60 minutes. And then with the pressure, Matthew Stafford's going to be the quarterback under the most pressure going into the playoffs. So he has to live up to those expectations. Kyler Murray and them, they've lost four out of the last five games. They, you know, they beat the Cowboys, but they haven't been playing well at all. So that's the reason why I've got the Rams Monday night against the Cardinals.
Yeah, they've both kind of – I feel like they've both not backed into the playoffs necessarily, but they started a lot hotter than they've ended their seasons. I would take the Rams with the least confidence perhaps out of any of these games because they also don't fully trust the Cardinals. I look forward to picking against either of these teams next week, though.
This might be the highest scoring game or it might be the lowest scoring game.
Nothing about this game would really surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Chiefs. Steelers.
I got the Steelers.
We're gonna go up to the hour. Go up to the final break. I did it. I pulled some magic back here.
I got to tape an interview before at four. You just gotta let me out of here by 55. That's all I ask.
Oh, that's where we're at, baby.
Beautiful.
So, Chiefs Steelers.
Yeah.
Do the Steelers have a chance, Briscoe?
Not really. It's wild. Like, I mean, on some cosmic scale, absolutely. But one of the things I've been asking everybody this week is like, hey, build me your best case for the Steelers actually winning this game. What does the world look like when that happens? And other than like that scene in The Dark Knight Rises where the whole field collapses, other than that happening, it is really hard to build that case. You do have a healthier TJ Watt than last time, but like we were talking about earlier in the segment, like, do you see a world in which both sides of the ball step up for the Steelers at the same time? And I feel like I'm actually coming into this playoffs from the Chiefs' perspective being a little bit of a downer, or maybe a little bit of a skeptic on some level, because we have seen them lose games to good teams. And really, the only recent one is, of course, the Bengals, because they've been on this great winning streak. If you want to go back to earlier in this season, that felt like a different team in a lot of ways. But I think there's a similarity, which is when they've played these good teams and they've had their self-inflicted wounds, they've made their mistakes, those good teams are able to take advantage of them.
There it is.
I don't think the Steelers are good enough to. I think the Bengals could do it with two big mistakes. The Bills or Titans might be able to do it on one big mistake. I think they'd have to turn the ball over three times in their own territory for the Steelers to really be able to turn that kind of performance into points.
Problem is, I can see it happening because, you know, when the Chiefs lose, now, man, granted, when they lose drastically. Mm-hmm. And in the manner which they do, Tyreek Hill and other receivers are dropping passes.
True.
Like dropping obvious. Like, dude, you catch the pass, you know, you can put the game away, i.e. Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
And so when they, you know, and to me, if Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, if they're dropping passes, which turns into an interception, again, I think that that's the way to capitalize. Now, one of the things that I think that they will try to do is well, the best thing for them to do is to run the football. And Najee Harris is expected. He was a full participant today. He's expected to play Sunday. He will have to have the – I think if he has the game of his life where they can run the football effectively, because the Chiefs do have a problem stopping the running game. And so if they can run the football effectively, that's the only chance that they haven't beaten Kansas City.
But here's what I'd add, a tweak on the Najee Harris front. I think the best chance they have of winning this game is that he has like 12 catches for 150 yards.
That's,
you know,
where I think.
Like, because they have used so much of that short stuff as an extension of their running game, but their offensive line is so terrible. Like, it is physically hard to watch that offensive line at times. I love Najee Harris, and they have asked him to do some unfair things this year.
And he gets 85% of the snap count as a running back, which is, dude.
Behind a line that is doing their best. But that's, and nothing more than that. Like, I do think that it's interesting. The weapons they have are interesting. I don't expect to see Juju Smith-Schuster out there. But even without Juju in this sort of half return right now, they've got some legitimate weapons.
Chase Poole, Deontay Johnson.
Both of those guys are like, dudes, you need to know where they are. And Najee Harris out of the backfield as a pass catcher could potentially challenge the Chiefs in that way.
And they got a good tight end, too.
They do. And I still don't think any of those guys are going to have very many targets more than 4 yards down the field. Like, it's just, that's the whole offense right
now.
Well,
here's the other thing, though. If Ben Roethlisberger is throwing 44 times,
he might get 100 yards.
That's the other thing, too. But if you're throwing that many times, again, Patrick's on the sideline, hopefully, because he's coming out and he's scoring right away.
Yeah.
And so, but then you don't want to put your defense out there.
What happens when he comes off the sideline? Darren Mahomes comes onto the field. It doesn't matter. Like,
I just said
to me, though, Deontay Johnson, as great as he is, he can't be utilized in the right way. Him and Mecole Hardman will be getting the exact same type of targets, those wide receiver screens. Deontay Johnson's better. Yeah. Doesn't matter because you can't get the ball down the field.
Right.
And that's what it all comes down to. Chris Jones have a big game. Nick Bolton wasn't there week one, and they were able to
the first matchup,
and he was still able to control Najee Harris. Like you said, as good as Najee Harris is, it doesn't matter when your offensive line is cheeks, man. Like, there's no holes.
The biggest difference in this game is going to be Arrowhead Stadium. It's the playoffs. Fans are going to be rocking. Chiefs know what's at stake. You win, you move on. You host a divisional game next week. You lose, taking your ass home, and then you got to listen to us for the next 6-7 months talking about what a failure you all are. And so, we can try to spruce it up, but the Chiefs are winning this game. It's not even close. I think the Chiefs cover the 12 points as well.
The one thing to that point that I did have for the first time, I thought of it on Friday of the playoff week. We did just see the Chiefs, and I think you're going to have – your counterpoint is what you just said. But we just saw the Chiefs sleepwalk through a game a little bit and hang with a lesser opponent for a long time. That Broncos game should not have been that close nearly as long. If your theory was, hey, they're not gonna come out of the gate with that energy this week because this is a playoff game at Arrowhead and everything is on top of them right now, I would agree with you. I think that's absolutely true. But I did catch myself earlier today being like, when's the last time we saw them hang around with the bad team for too long and maybe have a chance to make a mistake? Oh, that happened last week.
That was also on the road, too.
Right, absolutely. And so, again, I think at Arrowhead in the playoffs, I do not think that that is going to happen here. But if the first half is, like, if they have a great first drive and then they don't score again in the first half, I don't want to catch myself being surprised at halftime if it's 7-3.
My only concern about that would be whether or not the Steelers are getting off, so to speak.
Yeah.
And
phrasing.
And,
yeah, like Josh Allen.
And your guy, Steve Spagnuolo, is not making any adjustments.
Yep.
Now, that would be like, okay, you're going to make us come from the press box down there to whip your ass if you don't start
phrasing
changing
again.
So, yeah, no, that would be an issue.
Yeah.
That
would be an issue. And it will be interesting to see if there is something where you go, this feels like a whatever, intensity issue or a focus issue or whatever. I think that's going to get figured out even if it takes until halftime. Yeah. If there is something schematically that the Steelers are doing in the first half and that Spags has to adjust to, I still think the Chiefs will win the game because of who we're talking about on both sides, but it can get a little scary.
Here's the thing. Chiefs win the game. Well, the Chiefs lose the game if for some reason they're scoring 3 points in the second half because for some reason, can't get this offense moving again. Mm. And now look, the Bengals – I'm still trying to figure out what
you say
what
Bengals too, by the way.
Whatever. I'm still trying to figure out what they did in the locker room because they came out looking like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, shutting the Chiefs down only 3 points in the second half. What I think is more so the play caller and Andy Reid. Again, I think they lost to the Bengals, you know what I'm saying, was an eye awakening thing because again it kind of, you know, Spagnuolo started to believe his own press, you know, started to think his stuff didn't stink. And you couldn't tell him, like, I don't give a damn if Ja'Marr Chase was going to catch 400 yards receiving. He wasn't coming out of that cover one, regardless of what was going on. So I think he learned a valuable lesson. I think Andy Reid as well, because, again, they never should have got that close. And there were times where, and I hate to say I agree with Sterling on this one time when it comes to analytics, but it was the one a few times that, you know, instead of filling it and going for it on fourth down and trying to extend plays, He was putting the ball away. So, but Chiefs will win Sunday. They'll cover the points.
All right. Before we get out of here, though, Briscoe, do you think the Steelers will be like Brandon Staley-esque every single fourth and one, no matter where they're out in the field? Will they go for it? Do you see a fake punt, onside kick in the future?
They probably should, just because we don't trust that offense. They should probably be more aggressive than the numbers would tell them to be, and I do not think they will be.
And they ain't got nothing to lose. Do it.
Well, Briscoe, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter, JB Briscoe. Go do your stuff, dude.
Thank
you. Get
Thanks it. For having me.
Darren, this was a lot of fun. Have fun Sunday at the game. You're going to get a dub, dude. We're
sorry,
here.
I unplugged my headphones and I couldn't hear Sterling anymore, and this show got like 100% better.
Sorry, Sterling. I couldn't hear you.
Until Monday, we'll be back. Go Chiefs. Bring home a victory Monday. We're out.